thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
That's what we do.
Here's John Williams.
That's me. And we're here until 3 o'clock. We appreciate you tuning in. Remember, weekdays, it's 10 a.m. and 12. Wait a minute. Just bobbled my intro. Saturdays, remember, we're on from 10 a.m. until 12 noon on social media. It's WGN King John on the one. We have a podcast called The Mincing Rascals. We'll record another one on Thursdays. They drop Thursday afternoons. I think you'll like that, too, if you like this show. That's The Mincing Rascals podcast. It's free, don't you know? Subscribe to it wherever you hear your finer podcasts. Lots of ground to cover on the show today. Remember that they just told me in the halls, boy, we sold a lot of Thomas Jefferson tickets yesterday. TJ's on stage with me at the College of DuPage. I hope you can join us Saturday, August 18th, 10 a.m. Tickets are on sale now at WGNradio.com/events. There's the phone number there. You can also click through to buy them online. And I hope that you do. I hope you bring your kids, your grandkids, and your grandparents. It's really fun. It's funny. It's warm. It's wise. There is no greater Jefferson expert than our Jefferson who comes on stage with us in the country. When Ken Burns did his Thomas Jefferson documentary, he invited this man to talk. And so he comes out in costume in first-person period piece, and I interview him on stage for a while. You get to ask questions, too. In fact, the title of the show this year is Thanks, Thomas Jefferson. We needed that. And we could. What would the Founding Fathers say about us, and what would we say to them? Go to WGNradio.com/events. Father Flager, the righteous reverend in Chicago, said that on the 4th of July weekend, he wants to shut down the Don Ryan. He wants to shut down the Dan Ryan.
Or the Don Ryan.
Better that he shut down the Don Ryan. I mean, I've seen this happen in St. Louis. I have read about this when it happened in Atlanta. When I was in Minneapolis and St. Paul, they used to shut down the highways there, usually the Black Lives Matter movement. I guess other groups do it as well, but it most often of late is to protest the inner city violence, guns killing a disproportionate number of people of color. Black and brown, Mary Mitchell calls them in the Sun-Times today. And Mary Mitchell's open to it. She said, I don't know, this is either going to be a great idea or it's going to be a terrible idea. But Flager says we seem to ignore too much the violence that goes on. And the only way to get people's attention is, here's his plan, Saturday, July 7th. Remember, the 4th is on a Wednesday this year. So you get to Saturday the 7th. That's the big, long weekend. And I don't know what your plans are. But if you're going to be one of the many thousands of people going up and down the Dan Ryan at 10 a.m. He wants 1,000 or more people to just come on down entrance ramp and start walking from the south side. They'll go about 20 blocks up, take another ramp, and get off. Long enough to completely shut down the, I guess it would be northbound Dan Ryan. I don't know if they're going to do the southbound as well.
But well, they got to get back.
You know, I've always thought that there is a certain amount of courage of your conviction to the first few people. Because once it's shut down, it's shut down. But the first guy who says, okay, here we go, vroom, 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 I'm sure they'll slow down. So the police are charged with ensuring the public safety. So the cops will almost certainly be involved. They will, like when there's a rally that marches right down Michigan Avenue, if you're in the way of Michigan Avenue or State Street or Columbus Avenue protests, it's an inconvenience sometimes of a half hour or so. It's a city street. But this would be a federal highway. This would be the Dan Ryan. And the cops will help them clear the traffic and make it safe for them.
They said that?
Yes, they did. No, they did not.
Well, that's interesting.
But they will. I guarantee they will.
But typically they try to keep protests off of the highway.
That's
what it is.
If they start to move in, they're going to have to stop traffic.
People will start walking around the squad cars. You get 1,000 people coming down an entrance ramp, and they are here to protest what they're there to protest. This ain't no kidding around. The cops will be in more trouble than the people will if they don't ensure the safety of those folks. Now, I'm just wondering what you think of that. I mean, is that you've been warned? You know, if you're on the northbound Dan Ryan at 10:01 Saturday, that's on you now. Tell your friends if they're going to or from Michigan. 10 a.m. Saturday. Dan Ryan, bad place to be. And I wonder what you think of that method, because it's not like they're protesting something small. Every day we report more and more people shot and killed, shot and or killed on the South and West Side, and we don't even think twice about it anymore. I was thinking about that the other day. What was there? Six people were shot in a park last night. I think it was six people were shot in a park last night. One kid was hit in the ankle. The other five were all taken to hospitals and released, right? But because it's a park, it's not reported as a mass shooting like if it were at a school. If somebody went into one of the high schools or grade schools in the city of Chicago, if they went into a school and opened up fire, the whole country would be talking about it for half a day, and we'd be talking about it for a day or two. It would be terrible. But if it happens at a park on the South Side in the summer, we just say, well, that's it sucks to be them, and we move on. Every now and then you just say, wow, this is really crazy. And then you move on.
But do you think that inconveniencing people is a good way to get them to listen or on your side?
That's the question. That's the question. Does this sort of...
Does it hurt their cause or does it help to close down a major highway?
That's the question. And you know, and they've already answered it for you. Like, well, not shutting the highway down isn't helping. I mean, nobody's paying any attention. You want them to pay attention? I know what we'll do. We'll shut down the highway. Last year, no, 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, Black Lives Matter shut down part of the Mall of America the Saturday before Christmas.
And we had protests on Michigan Avenue as well.
Yeah, right. I mean, that gets people's attention. That gets people's attention. They're like, are you kidding me? It's the Saturday before Christmas, and I need to get some ripped jeans.
But is it the wrong attention? Is it then that you don't care for that cause anymore if you feel that they're bothering you?
Violetta is opposed to the march.
I'm not opposed. I just don't know if it helps their cause.
I know what they say. I mean, and you know, they're right about this. And in the same breath, you can be wrong about this. They can say, oh, there you go. Inconvenienced because it was hard for you to get to the barbecue or the store. You know what's a real inconvenience? A bullet going through your nephew. That's an inconvenience.
I'm not saying they're wrong. I just don't think people want to think about it on 4th of July weekend. So I'm not saying it's right. It's just the way people might think.
You know, they're kind of desperate. I mean, so like, how do we get people's attention? Well, damn it. Really, how else can you get people's attention these days? And if you do it in a way that's convenient for them, then it's convenient for them to avoid the message, too. We'll put it on the news. We'll have a rally in the park in our neighborhood. You know, I'm not going to go to that. I don't watch TV news. I'm not going to see that. But if we shut down the Dan Ryan, Jack, you'll know we're here, and
right.
You'll know why.
But if you didn't have a feeling towards it one way or another,
right now, and then now you're ticked at them. Yeah. Now you go, wow, really? Oh, you shut down the Dan Ryan because of violence on the South Side. Boy, am I mad at you because I had to get to a barbecue and I wasn't doing the shooting.
I think the point is you need to create some discomfort to foster movement. And everyone, if they remain comfortable or not agitated, you know, they might not be engaged.
Father Flager wants to shut down the Dan Ryan the Saturday after the 4th of July, that would be the 7th. That's the 4th of July weekend at 10 a.m. I'm asking you what you think of his method. He's a disruptor, you know. Okay, our phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. By the way, the WGN Radio John Williams News Click has returned. The News Click is a daily web poll question, and we ask it on our WGN Radio .com page and also on my Facebook page. You can like me. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. Yesterday's News Click was White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders was asked to leave a Virginia restaurant Friday night. The Red Hen staff called the Trump administration unethical. You had two options. A, good for them. I wouldn't serve her either. B, bad on them. Two wrongs don't make a right. Justin Kaufman said on Steve Cochran's show Monday morning that he thinks 7 out of 10 people would say bad on them, two wrongs don't make a right. 63% of you said bad on them. Justin was about to have it. 6 out of 10 are saying it's a bad idea. 63%, 37% said you wouldn't serve her either. Today's News Click is asking you about shutting down the Dan Ryan. Do you think that's a good idea? Disrupting gets attention, or no? It just ticks people off on a busy weekend. WGNradio.com or on Facebook, I'm WGN King John. 100 events, 19 days, one epic food fest. Go to ctfoodbowl.com for the ultimate Chicago food experience this August. Oh, and what if you could find a way to get forgiveness for thousands of dollars on your federal student loans and lower your monthly payment in the meantime by half or more? Kaplan Law Firm has spent the last 3 years doing just that for their clients burdened by student loan debt. Let Kaplan Law Firm help you. Call for a consultation, 312-294-8989. This is a free call, 312-294-8989. You got a lot of student debt? I don't know why you wouldn't call. Don't waste another dime paying too much for the loans. Kaplan Law Firm is a debt relief agency. They help people file for bankruptcy under the U.S. Bankruptcy Code. That is not the only way they get your debt forgiven, though. Don't think you're only doing that if you do this. There's other ways. Now, that phone number, again, is 312-294-8989. Should they shut down the Dan Ryan? Hey, Joe, this is John. You're on WGN. You're the first call. What do you want to say?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. You're going to take all the police away from the neighborhoods that need the protection by putting them on the highway. Why not organize several groups in the worst neighborhoods and march in those neighborhoods and disrupt the criminals?
That's Joe. Thanks for the call, Joe. We're going to go from you to Anna. You're on WGN. Anna, what do you want to say? Hi, Anna. Breaker, breaker, Anna. Anna Maria. I'll come back to you. Let's go to Joe on line three. Hey, Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, John. I'm with the other Joe. I think it's misguided. Telling everybody from the suburbs or from communities outside that community there's a problem in that community when the code of silence is the problem in that community. Those communities, they have police officers there. They have police officers there trying to solve these crimes, but they aren't willing to help themselves. So, you know, making somebody on a Dan Ryan sit and wait while everyone marches isn't going to solve the crimes in that community.
I appreciate your phone call. I'm going to go from Joe on line three to Dennis on line four. Hi, Dennis. Jump in there. What do you want to say?
There's 13 million people in this state. There's about 3 million in Chicago. How many of them do you think aren't aware of the problem? The problem resides in the fact that we've got 1,000 killings last year, which is better than 1978, where we had 1,800. But since 1978, we've had the same type of people in the legislature who do nothing about it. Don't get up about getting people aroused. Get something to get the people aroused to vote the people that are in Springfield out so we can get people who understand the issues and make changes in the law as necessary to really put these shooters behind bars.
I got it. Thanks for the call. We're going from you now to line number five, and that means, Tom, you're on WGN. What do you say, Tom?
Hi, John.
Hey.
Personally, I don't care. I don't use the Ryan, but...
I know, but... I don't either, but I mean, they better not do this on Lakeshore Drive, by golly, or now I'm vested in this topic.
Well, that's... Yeah, that's
or shut down the red line. Keep going. What do you want to say?
No, but what Flager is good, what Father Flager is good at is publicity. And it's the optics, it's the pictures, it's the lead story. It feeds that particular good thing or monster, depending on which way you want to go with it. And
well, I got that, and I think that's the very point. At least this gets attention. But is it cutting off your nose to spite your face, said Violetta, and I think that's a good question. Tom, thanks for the call. I'm going to go from you to Bob. Hey, Bob, you're on WGN. What's your thought?
Hey, John, how are you?
Good.
Okay, Mike Flager is one of the best people when it comes to handle civil disobedience and bring attention to an item. And, you know, I'll go back to when Mike was throwing paint all over billboards, you know, on the south side and you know, minority neighborhoods about liquor and booze advertising and cigarette advertising in the minority neighborhoods. And he got everybody's attention. He went to jail, and guess what? The courts let him go. The city didn't prosecute him. But his message got across, and the billboard industry backed off in the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And Mike's trying to bring attention. You know, he's got a rough way of doing it at times, but he's trying to create the awareness.
I think you're absolutely right about that. I mean, look, it's the very notion has already done some good if you're him. And I don't know what to say about this. I know it's all of our sort of it's my job to have an opinion about this. I just think that the situation there is so desperate that I don't blame them for trying this. I don't blame them for trying this. The texts include this. It's stupid to shut down the highway. It's just more work for the police. And from 630, Father Flager's a priest. Unfortunately, the Pope should stop this guy. 815, getting in my way and causing me grief is not going to make me sympathetic.
Cardinal could never stop the priest, so I don't think the Pope's going to have any luck either.
John, with the shooting last night, no one would cooperate with the police. Nothing is going to change. Well, I think that's the sort of desperation that gets these people to say, all right, screw it, we're shutting down the highway. Incidentally, while I said that you can vote about this, is it a good idea or bad idea, on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John there. We also posted there, there's a couple new things for you to look at. People Magazine just released its 100 Reasons to Love America This Year list. I didn't know they did that. 100 Reasons to Love America This Year. Boy, we could use that. Number one, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. Number two, Meghan Markle and her mom, Doria. So I guess they want him to be as current as they can. Number three, the right to vote. Number four, Fortnite, the video game on your phone.
Wait, Meghan Markle's one of the best things about America?
Yeah.
Because she married a foreign guy?
Well, and her mom, Doria. She's a princess now.
Okay.
And she's delightful. Oh, I'm cool with her being on the list.
I don't know her mom.
Violetta Padromedic, your thoughts on Meghan Markle being one of the great things about America right now. Go.
Mm.
No kidding. Shake Shack's healthy new burger, the Veggie Shack, is number five.
Okay, then Meghan belongs on the list.
Jessica Chastain is six. Who doesn't love Jessica Chastain? I think this list is great. Number eight, John Mulaney. Yeah. The Easy Pass, or the transponder on your dashboard that lets you go right through the toll without having to throw coins in the basket. That's one of the great things about America right now.
Is that new, though?
It's, I guess, no more on your mind during a busy travel weekend that's coming up like
that. Not if you're on the Dan Ryan.
And number 24 on the list is Sister Jean. You go, Sister Jean. She's a great thing about America. And so we on Facebook said, all right, what are some reasons to love Chicago this year? We'll start with Sister Jean. The Chicago Architecture Boat Tours, Wrigley Field. I'm a big fan of Mary Schmeek. She's Chicago. The 2018 Northwestern Wildcat football team. They're really going to be something this year. Insert your favorite pizza. Great thing about Chicago. The Randolph Street Market. Tom Skilling made the list. It's my list, but there he is.
I mean, that could be for the United States.
Yeah, true. Chance the Rapper, somebody just posted on Facebook. That's got to be on there. The new Kaiser Tiger restaurant over by the Randolph Street Market. Brenda and I strolled in there.
Yeah, you just tell us what you do for your weekends. All right, put Ravinia on there.
I've had some good weekends. Yeah. I think you could put Ravinia on there, but things that suck about Chicago, I'm going to put trying to park at Ravinia.
Just have to plan.
Try and get on a Metro car going to Ravinia. Okay, hey, I don't mean to blow out your candle. So here's 312-981-7200. You can text if you like, but it's on my Facebook page. We're looking for you to add to the list of reasons to love Chicago this year. People Magazine has their list of the 100 things to love about America right now. I just think that's such a nice idea because, you know, it can be a silly list. You don't even have to agree with it, but ain't nobody gonna, you know... This isn't the rest of the stuff we're all arguing about. This isn't Sarah Sanders getting served in a restaurant or immigrants being torn from their families or stuff like that. It's just things that are nice. Maybe not as nice as you'd like.
What's wrong?
No.
Are people taking issue with your list?
Well, you were a minute ago.
No, was I? You're just picking the stuff that you like to do.
Well, that's because I'm adding to the list.
What else is around the Randolph Street Market that you like to do?
Okay, well, what's on your list, Steve? What are some things that you think are swell about the Chicago area?
I said Ravinia.
Oh, yeah, here's a text. Hey, I stopped going to Ravinia because they oversell. It's very crowded there, and I didn't pay a lot of money for an event only to be bussed to and from the park.
You notice that you're the one hating on my list. I'm not hating on yours. I learned that Lake Bluff has outdoor block parties once a month.
Yeah.
And we went to one, and they're a lot of fun. So I'm going to say the Lake Bluff block parties.
Last time I was at that Ravinia, and Ravinia's great. It really is. It should be. It'll be on our list, Steve, of the 100 things. But it doesn't mean they can't improve it. Here's my problem with Ravinia. I don't know where to sit on the lawn. Like, Griffin and I went there to a concert, and we got there really early. And we rolled the cooler in, and we staked out the spot on our blanket, and we went right to the front of that concrete walkway or paved walkway that sort of separates the front of the lawn from the back of the lawn. And I thought, this is smart because we'll have a natural break here. And
people walking by.
Yeah. So that didn't do us any good because people were just standing there and walking by. So then we pulled our blanket back. People started to encroach on our turf. And I guess the point was there was no point in getting there real early because people were just sitting on our stuff anyway. Good view.
Too many options sometimes is not a good idea. Get there late, the last spot, and you'll be happy.
I think that's it. Great lineup. And you know, it's you can't complain too much, I guess. If a lot of people are going, they must like it, right?
Yeah, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
I was gonna do that one.
Okay, so you want to hate on my Lake Bluff spot too, or
no? And I'm not hating on Ravinia. I was just offering a. That wasn't really a helpful suggestion, was it? How about this one? Buckingham Fountain. Oh, my God, yes.
That's ridiculous.
Things that, what is the list? What's the definition of the list? Things to love about Chicago. So Ravinia, the Buckingham Fountain, R-I-C-O-B-E-N-E-S. Ricabinis.
It's breaded a beef
steak.
Place.
Yeah. Haven't had that. That's good.
As I'm sitting in here, Channel 9's doing a story on Sister Jean, and she needs to come out with a summer wardrobe because it doesn't look right. She's got her scarf on and her heavy coat.
Maybe that's an old footage.
Well, I know. That's my point.
I hope they're not pushing her around in that scarf going, Jean, it's the thing now.
It's your look.
You've got...
It's your brand.
Yeah, but it's 98.
So am I.
All right. There's that. What else is on my list of to-dos here? Remember yesterday we were talking about the maestro, Ricardo Muti, getting mad at somebody at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra show? I think Steve
Somebody
had
coughed.
Yeah.
And then we had a witness who said there was a bass issue.
Yeah, like maybe something happened with the bass player and his bass fell off its little stand and it made an abrupt noise.
What if the bass player was coughing?
I think the problem, the way our listener described it, is that somebody coughed perhaps so abruptly that it caused the bass player to rock his bass off of its little stand.
Was the music by Brahms, do you know?
No, it was by an Italian composer, Luigi Cherubini.
Oh, yeah, with Luigi, it's all about the bass.
So it says here in the Chicago Sun Crimes Today, Ricardo Muti went above and beyond his normal over-the-shoulder glare and fully brought to a halt a CSO performance Saturday night after someone in the audience coughed. The orchestra's 76-year-old Italian music director brought his hands down, signaling that the orchestra should stop during a pianissimo, which is when the musicians are playing especially softly. Muti briefly castigated the audience. His exact words, including the possible use of profanity, were, given by his heavy Italian accent, disputed over social media by those in attendance. It says here that sometimes they will stop the music to allow the musicians and the audience to regain focus. According to a guy who writes for Classical Review, he said, those musicians work for hours and hours in rehearsals to get everything as perfect as can be, and then some idiot coughs and just obliterates it.
That cracks me up.
I don't think some idiot coughs. Coughing is not a function of intelligence. Coughing is a function of something else in your throat. You're not an idiot if you cough.
Well, but how long was he coughing for?
I don't think that. If he coughed for 28 minutes, he should have left.
Yeah.
But coughing is not rude, and coughing is not stupid. Coughing is a thing that human beings do.
But if you don't excuse yourself when you're doing the coughing, should've it is rude.
I remember my kids' concerts, their recorder concerts at Wilmot School, and the noise from the audience was deafening, and those kids still could keep their focus.
The coughing was actually better than some of the recording.
You were there.
I would just hum the song into my recorder.
It says here, and this is again from the guy at Classical Review, if people are coughing loudly at the quietest moments, it totally breaks the spell and takes you out of the music. To combat the coughing, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra has for years placed bins of free cough drops on every level of Symphony Center, where the orchestra performs. See, the problem, too, is that the audience at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra is not young. They're older. You've got a bunch of people there, and they tend to have a thing back there. And they... Over the course of 2 hours, that'll happen. I'm not mad at them. I think if... we're talking about two different things here. If some knucklehead's got a cold, and they're just hacking away, and they don't leave, they shouldn't have even come, that's one thing. But if, you know, you've got a dry thing back there and the cough drops aren't killing it, I'm not generally going to be that upset with you. I wish you weren't doing that, but you paid your money. You want to hear the music, too. You can't help it. I mean, if you really want a perfect performance at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, buy their CD. Don't get in my car. It doesn't have a CD player. But then find a CD player and just listen to it at home. Or wherever you listen to music. Back to the guy who is reviewing this for Classical Review. He said, audiences seem to be getting ruder. I don't think this is a function of consideration. It probably did not help that the music he was conducting, written in the 18th century by fellow Italian Luigi Cherubini, was very close to his heart. It's the second to last show. Moody's an angry old man. Great and talented, and he turns and glares. Actually, shut the thing down. Maybe the ushers should have just gone over and said to somebody, "Hey, come on, let's head out right now."
I mean, it's just funny because I understand if you're. I kind of like a little rascal, so you know, it's kind of funny that he does it. But
oh yeah, that's part of the entertainment.
So are you supposed to pay hundreds of dollars or $100 or whatever, and then go be afraid of the people on stage? Like I'm going to get in trouble.
I'm going to get in trouble if I have a cough. I'm not sure what your obligation is. I guess you don't get to go to the show tonight if you have a cough.
What if you sneeze?
I always sneeze 3 times too, so that could get.
Well, that is stupid and rude. Things that we love about Chicago. You could put the Chicago Symphony Orchestra on there. Marilyn said, our diverse neighborhoods. Luann, our beautiful skyline, no kidding. Maryland, Buckingham Fountain, that's the second one to say that. Michaeline says our sports teams, I'm not so sure about that. It says things we love about Chicago right now. I watched most of the Bulls games this year. I don't think people were loving the Bulls. And even those of us who hold promise for the White Sox, I'm not sure love what we're seeing right now. Same the Bears. Same the Blackhawks. I'm not sure this is the right year for us to say our sports teams, our college teams, yes. Loyola, yes. Northwestern was disappointing on the hardwood this year, but I think they're going to be really good on the gridiron.
What about all of our rooftop bars? Those are really nice.
Yeah, no kidding. What's your favorite one? What's the one you want to shout out to?
I don't know. I like them all. I like eating outside or drinking outside anywhere, really.
Yeah, no kidding. WGN, thank you, Liz. I didn't want to say that, but Liz Spooner said WGN, and I'm going to put Liz Spooner on the list. She's one of the great things about Chicago. Pritzker Pavilion, John, great acoustics. Boy, that great lawn at Pritzker Pavilion. I'll tell you what, Millennium Park, the bean, the fountain, the pool, the great lawn. How can you argue with that?
I like watching the faces change with the water coming out.
I know. You know, one of the interviews I've wanted to do for the longest time, and they will not accommodate us on this, is I want to talk to some of the people whose faces are in the fountain. You know, the faces that are spewing the water.
Yeah, or how do they pick them? How many are there rotating? So many questions.
They will never announce the list. It's a protected list. It's intentionally not people that you know, because they don't want it to be, you know, we could put Vince Vaughn there. We could put John Cusack there. Let's not do that. Let's just make them sort of this rainbow of people that are representative of the city. And they love that they're anonymous. I said, boy, I'd love to. Could we do a contest? Make a WGN listener one of them or something? No, you cannot. The integrity of those faces is something the Park District is very proud of.
Maybe they're not people at all and they just...
Amalgamations?
Yeah.
One quick point about that. Did you see they asked young people and old people, they did a survey of what God looks like. Did you see the picture of what God looks like to people?
No.
I'm going to ask you all this when I come back. Imagine, I'm not talking about Jesus, I'm talking about God. So that whatever your denomination, if you believe in God, what does God look like? And then they printed a composite picture, Violetta, just like you're saying, maybe those people are some sort of composite of all of the blended people of Chicago, right? And so you have some darker and some lighter hue and so forth. Well, they asked people, what does God look like? And the picture looks just like... So here's the deal, you guys. You know how we were talking about the what God looks like? Violetta, did you Google it? Violetta just stepped out. Kevin, do you want to play along here? Kevin's over in sports.
Oh, yeah. I didn't Google it because I didn't want to be persuaded a certain way.
Okay, here's what God looks like to me. To me, I grew up Catholic, and I had Jesus as this sort of bearded man, and so maybe that's why. To me, God kind of looked like a wizard.
Yeah.
He's got a robe on. He's got a long white beard, and I think he has a hat, but he's just kind of this old, you know, wise old man.
Yeah, I had something very similar growing up Catholic. It almost feels like an older Jesus Christ that we may have into our memory, but sort of like the flowing robes and the clouds and white and the gray beard and all that sort of thing, and big and strong.
With a wand, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. He doesn't need a wand. He's God.
Yeah.
But then
he's got his fingers, right? He just points, snaps his fingers.
Right.
He's good to go.
Right now. Yeah. Where's my car?
That's all he needs. Yeah.
So... if you ask a Muslim or a Jew, if you ask a Methodist, you know, maybe they might have different views. Depending if you're a person of color, maybe God is more colored. And so they ask people that. And they say it all comes out to look like Justin Timberlake. They actually, on composite, have God with not long hair. He's a little bit younger. He's got beautiful, caring eyes. And he looks like kind of a boy band guy, an older boy band boy. Is the face of God.
Hmm.
I hate to disappoint you. I'm just telling you what it said in the newspaper recently.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
There we go.
Here's John Williams.
This is John. I'm a pretty good tipper, I think. I want to talk about that for just a second here. Also, remember, you can go to WGNradio.com/events. Get your tickets to our Thomas Jefferson show. TJ's coming to town at the College of DuPage. It's going to be on Saturday, August 18th at 10 a.m. TJ and I will be on stage. I hope you can join us. It'll be fun. Go to WGNradio.com/events for tickets on that. So I guess I missed the conversation that Ro and Violetta and Anna and Kevin had about tipping. But there was a story in the USA Today today the other day, and it said that millennials, those champions,
horrible
those
people.
Champions of the experience, not the thing, they aren't tippers as good as the rest of us. Huh.
Just now, another reason to hate those millennials.
I know. We've got to stop that. You guys, we're not supposed to shame smokers or fat people or rich people or poor people or people of any stripe. But millennials, it just seems to be so easy. Yeah, let's make fun of those millennials. They're soft.
I love millennials, and I think they're right. I think we should move away from tipping. I do. I think that waitresses or bartenders should be paid more money.
Okay.
As a salary, and that,
right.
that we shouldn't rely on tips the way we do.
Sure.
Right, we're just worldly.
Yeah.
Is that why we're not tipping?
Yeah, but there you go. There's the point. I think those are parallel but not intersecting conversations, Steve.
So you think that they're calling them cheap?
I think that the reason they're not tipping isn't because they think those workers deserve a higher wage.
Well, no, I mean, I still tip 20%, but I don't like the system. at all.
We attempt to thrive on the gig economy.
Here's the deal. Millennials, which is a pretty broad swath. I mean, what's the range, Kevin? 18 to 37-year-old or something like that?
Something crazy like that.
Okay, so an 18-year-old doesn't have any money. And a 37-year-old does, right? So I think that's almost unfair to throw them all in the same pile. Like, if you're 18 years old, 19% may be all you have. 15% may be all you have.
I'm done identifying as a millennial. I'm done. Not a millennial.
You are, but you just don't want that tag.
I'm not identifying myself with it. I mean,
hey, Kevin, are you a millennial?
No. I mean, there are men who don't identify as male, so I can roll with this. That's my explanation.
You cannot renounce your age.
Well, I think if you can renounce your gender.
Yeah, I can deny a generation. I can be like, no, I'm not. I'm not a millennial.
But people that go, you know what? I'm indeterminate. I'm an indeterminate age as well.
That's right.
I'm everything. I'm all of them.
I'm generational neutral.
I'm not going to be defined by one thing.
I tip, damn it.
You're a cis era.
I tip, too.
These reports that come out about millennials are such BS. They're, none of them are even true.
Quick to anger. I've heard that report.
Got me. Dang it. All right. Back to being a millennial.
You know, my rap on millennials has always been that they want it all and they're getting it all. So I think mine has always been sort of based in jealousy. You know, like, how do we get millennials to work hard? Well, we need to give them ping pong tables and let them take time off whenever they want.
I think you're right. I think it's all about jealousy.
I do.
I think the millennials have it right. Finish that thought, Steve. You know, with the way they live, they're not looking for the big houses necessarily. They're looking for the experience.
Well, then how are they going to get over their head in debt?
Well, exactly. I mean, I do think that a lot of the ripping on millennials is a little bit of, I wish I could do that, or I wish I had done that.
Right. I wish the world had paved a road for me like that. Maybe it's that they can't know how good they've got it because they've only got what they know. But if they had been raised in my parents' age or era, they would have been more appreciative of their good fortune.
I don't agree with that because a lot of them came of age during the housing crisis and the Great Recession, and that's why a lot of them don't invest in stocks.
That was 10 years ago.
Yeah, well,
the ripple effect. I 100% agree with Steve. It felt like there wasn't a dollar floating around in this country during that time.
It's true, John. If you look at it, they talk about the way millennials spend a lot has to do with the fact that they came of age during the Great Recession.
Wow. I don't think of it as the Dust Bowl. I mean, I'm sorry. It sucked. It really did. But I think it sucked for their parents. Did it suck for them?
Yes.
But maybe we learn from it. You know,
and watching your parents take out a lot of loans, yeah, and racking up the credit cards.
It's so acceptable to say that the people who came of age in the Great Depression, you know, acted a certain way. So why wouldn't those in the Great Recession? Wasn't as bad.
Steve,
or as
you're
long.
Winning the millennials' votes right now.
Yes, thanks.
Go, Steve.
Can I take your millennial badge? I want to be a millennial.
I'm back to being a millennial. You've inspired me that it's okay to be a millennial now, Steve. I'm back on the millennial train.
Says here nearly two-thirds of millennials tip below the standard 20% suggestion at restaurants. Okay, stop right there, right? I think the suggestion of 20% is fair, but I don't think anybody needs to apologize for tipping 18% or, I don't know, 15%, depending on what you're eating, where and when, and how much money you got. If you can't afford to tip, you know, 15%, maybe you shouldn't be eating out. Do you guys do this?
I agree with that.
I sure don't, but friends of mine will tip only on the food portion of the bill. They exclude the taxes.
No.
So if it's a $100 bill, you paid for $100 worth of food.
I know, but
then with taxes, it comes to $110. Therefore, it's a $22 tip. My friends will tip $20 because it's 20% of 100, not 20% of 110.
See, that's cheap.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like,
really?
Well, that's like trying to find a
loophole,
an out,
yeah,
kind of.
Well, you just found $2.
Aren't there also people who don't tip on liquor?
Really?
Yeah, you're not supposed to be.
Oh, well, they had to bring that to you too, didn't they?
Right. I don't know what
the. But when you have a bar tab, you don't have the tax on liquor.
You don't?
So if you're buying only alcohol,
right?
It's a flat fee.
Oh, no kidding. Really? If I buy $20 worth of beers, then it's $20 on the bill?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. What are you, in the restaurant business?
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
But you know the suggested tip that comes at the bottom? Those are calculated before the tax. So technically, tipping is supposed to be
before tax.
Right.
Really? And when they suggest 20%?
They're only suggesting it
on the food.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But not everybody puts a suggested tip on
it. No, but when you see those,
I never thought of it that way because it seemed like a little too complex for me. I've always just had the very simple $1 for every $5 my bill is. That's
20%. I double the tax.
I just do 10% of whatever and multiply by two. So if it's $136, just go $13 times two is 26, round it up 27. Hello.
Beautiful. Done.
And then if you really like the person, leave those extra $2. What do you need them in your pocket for?
Another millennial shaming. It says here, millennials don't tip Uber or Lyft drivers at all, according to a study.
This is the one, okay, I think when Uber first started, and I don't know if Uber promoted this or it just became some sort of public myth.
You mean way back 3 years ago?
Yeah, it does feel a lot longer than that, though. Everyone was like, "Well, no, you don't tip an Uber driver."
It's all
everyone
to be included,
said that. It was everything's it's real easy. You don't have to calculate the tip. It just all takes
it from
your phone.
I think they advertise that.
No, now they are more, but when it first started, it was all encompassed into one easy streamlined bill. Boom, you're in, you're out of the car, and it's all there's no tipping, there's nothing. That was like
but
how it was
is new. This is new.
Yeah, when Lyft would advertise for drivers, they would advertise that, "Oh, and you can tip you drivers get tips."
They promote
for Lyft
tipping
because
to Lyft.
Uber didn't do it.
And now Uber does. Now they make it very convenient to add a tip. When you reopen your Uber app after you've completed a trip and then you reopen it, it says, okay, rate the driver and then would you like to add $1, $3, $5, whatever the tip may be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if the guy's watching you, you give him a 5-star. And then and then you're like, I
he's taking
when
notes
I
when he dropped you off, definitely tip him.
Yeah. Well, when the star rating got important, I was like, hey, can I see you give me a 5 and I'll give you a 5 and
truly
we'll call it a day.
Yeah. Well, one of the
that's
first times
you know how fraudulent that is, right?
No.
Hey, let's share a couple 5 stars here. You know, I could use a rating.
It's a. I don't think that's fraud at all. If you and I agree that we're going to give each other a 5-star rating, evidently we agree.
No,
we are in concert.
It's a little bit of a hustle.
What Violetta is saying is like, I might give you a 3, but if you give me a 5, I'll give you a 5.
No, no matter what I think. I just want to see him give me the 5.
She's muscling her way into a perfect star.
And then he gives her a 5, and she hits the 3 and runs out of the car.
No, I don't.
You know how it's weird when you're
unless
in Europe?
Unless he didn't turn up the music, in which case.
We had the conversation when you're in another country that tipping isn't standard, and how weird it is to get up and leave the table without leaving a tip. But you feel like you're a fool if you tip too much traditionally because it's not expected anyway. So it's just a weird place to be if you're in Europe. And as an American, trying to figure out tips, it always is. The first time Brenda and I were in an Uber, we get to the thing and she looks at me and she goes, you got to get some cash. And I said, no, I don't think we have to tip an Uber driver. And so there's like this awkward moment. We're sitting there. The car stopped and I'm fumbling through trying to find some ones. And I finally gave the guy $3-4. I don't know what it was. I gave him some cash, and he was confounded. He couldn't believe that we were handing money up. Like, okay. So he took the money, but he had sure felt unnecessary at the time. With Lyft, I think there's more of an expectation that you'll tip them. And I tip cash. By the way, your waiter and waitress, they want you to tip cash. The person that does your nails or hair, they may only take cash.
I get an extra stamp if I pay in cash at my nail salon.
Oh.
And then five stamps equals $5
off. Steve off.
This is why I hate this whole thing. I mean, pay them a salary. Now I'm supposed to tip.
It's underground. It's totally underground.
Right, so now I'm supposed to tip in cash so that they don't have to pay taxes on their income.
Right.
That's like Violetta selling her stars.
But you also get to walk out with that money at the end of your shift as opposed to waiting for it to come in a check. So it's not even you. Even if it's not about the reporting.
I got news for you.
It is.
I got news for you. You're walking out of here today without being paid for your shift.
Well, I know, but I'm not in the restaurant industry anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. That doesn't wash. We need to pause. Elif's in my ear saying you got to take a break. You've got all calls. All the lines are ringing. We appreciate that. And lots of texts, too. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Steve Cochran, by the way, has a 4-pack of tickets to the Blackhawks convention. You will not have to report that as income. You can win it at 7:20 tomorrow morning on WGN. 7:20 tomorrow morning, a 4-pack of Blackhawks tickets. By the way, you may have to report it as income. I don't know. I just said that. When Deck Tech came out and redid our deck, we tipped them. Brenda tips them. She buys them lunch, and then sometimes she tips them.
I tipped my dentist once, and I'm like, I don't think that was right. Can I get that back?
You tipped your dentist?
It was kind of a family friend. I was
confused.
Drop
him a 10? What do you tip a dentist? How much do you tip a dentist?
I don't know. I was texting my dad. I'm like, hey, how much do I get?
Violetta, that's really sweet of you. You do not need to tip members of the medical community.
Okay, good to know.
773-661-0606, Cobblestone Development. Cobblestone, Chicagoland's premier home remodeler. All right, what do you have to say about this, John, on line three or on WGN? Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. So I was thinking, tipping percentage-wise, a few years ago, say a steak at Gibson's, wherever, say $35. So 15% tip on the $35 is $5.25. Now that same steak costs maybe $55, and the tip on that at 15% would be $7.50. So as prices go up, they automatically get more money.
Right.
So I don't understand the increase in percentage when the prices are going up and therefore their tips are going up.
Oh, I see. Well, I mean, maybe you should have been tipping 20% all along. But as
maybe.
The cost of the food goes up, so too does their take-home pay, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But and if it's all in cash... So let's say, let's play this out. You said like an underground economy. So these people that are doing this for cash all of a sudden claim they have low income and now they are eligible for free Obamacare.
I think that all of them are not. I don't think any of them are getting rich. But if you are not reporting tips, then, yeah, you're probably saving, I don't know, 20%. I mean, that's a 15-20% increase. My guess is that the food service industry has a lot of people who are working right on the line. What do you guess the waiter at Gibson's makes? What do you guess the waiter at one of the good steak joints makes?
$300 a night.
$70,000-$80,000 a year, something like that. I'll bet it's in that ballpark, huh? Karen, you're on WGN. What do you want to say, Karen? Hi.
Hi. Some years ago, I spent a month in Germany at a medical clinic getting treatment for a condition that doesn't get as much attention here in the U.S. And towards the end of my stay, the German friends I had made began talking amongst themselves about how much they were going to tip the nurses.
Seriously.
And I was caught totally unaware saying, what are you talking about? Because here that's unheard of. Turns out they all give a cash tip and or gifts at the end of their stay, if they're there at any place for any amount of time. And I hadn't prepared for that. I didn't have the money to give them. And so I went and bought flowers because I didn't know what to do.
Are you sure that the other people weren't just pulling your leg because they knew you were American?
It was a big thing the last day. The nurse, whenever someone left, the nurses had tables full of presents and cards
really?
That had cash in them, and it was the weirdest thing.
You know, I'm not making this up. You know those commercials we do for the Joint Relief Institute? You know, the knee place?
Yes.
People send them gifts. They are so appreciative of the pain relief they have. They are so overwhelmed. They send gifts every week. The gifts come into that place. But I think that's kind of an exception to the rule. I could see if you were in a hospital for a long time, you got to know the nurses and the doctors, and they were so nice to you, and then you maybe sent in pizzas or flowers or got them something. But
right. No, these people were giving them cash. It was the oddest thing to me.
That is very, and that was in Germany, huh?
In Germany,
How are you? By the way, Karen, you sound great. I hope you're well. Everything okay?
Everything's great.
Yeah. Okay. Well done. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Danke. John, I agree that unless the food service is exceptional, you should not tip on the tax. Hey, John, I never pay a tip on the bar portion ever. John, considering the markup on food and liquor, I have a difficult time tipping 20%. I take into consideration that the minimum wage has not kept up with the cost of living. Having visited and dined in France, I've seen how restaurants can survive.
The problem is, if you're not tipping your server, you're not hurting the company, you're hurting the server. So if prices are high at a restaurant, it's not the server's fault.
Says here in the USA Today, the median restaurant tip for a millennial diner is 15%. The overall U.S. average, the median, is 18%. Millennials have been notoriously credited with taking down bar soap, breakfast cereal, diamonds, and home ownership. I had to read that sentence a couple times to think I know what they're saying there.
We don't eat cereal.
Right. So the breakfast cereal business is suffering right now because you guys aren't eating enough breakfast cereal.
I think
cereal.
It's because we're also not having kids.
You're not buying it for your kids. Fair enough. And you're getting married late and having kids even later. You're not buying diamonds.
Because we're not even getting married.
As big as you're. Right. I guess that too. And maybe you don't spend as much on them as your parents did. Although, I don't know. My son got married. He bought a diamond as an engagement ring for his fiance. When Brenda and I got married, we didn't get a diamond until 5 years after we got married, and we had to save. The kids were flabbergasted. They were like, they didn't even know that was a thing. Wait, you don't? I said, yeah.
The engagement rings I see my friends buy, their wives are
pretty impressive.
I'm like, what do you do again?
I know.
Maybe I should switch careers.
I know. I'm like, hey, you guys,
holy crap.
If you love each other and you want to start a life together, the best use of $3,000 is not a diamond ring.
I don't know. Diamonds. Well, you can't help you say yes.
Come on. We knew Vila was going to call this way.
I agree with her as the other woman.
Always get a diamond. By the way, ladies, what would you rather have? A nicer new house, car, apartment, or a diamond ring? I mean,
the diamond's mine.
Well, if we don't have money for it, like you did, I wouldn't mind waiting.
Guess what? You don't. You do not have money for it.
Well, then maybe we shouldn't get married yet.
Okay, Violetta, you're giving the millennials a bad name again.
Home ownership is also down because of millennials.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Because student loans are eating up most of their paychecks.
I get that. You know, to me, I mean, if they're staying with their folks or they're renting longer than they should be because it'd be better if you were building equity.
But also college education, millennials aren't complaining about that. I know I took student loans so I could get a degree. So it's not like I'm complaining, I can't buy a house because of a student loan. It's more of like, well, I'm just kind of waiting.
What are you saying, Steve?
I think from the people I've talked to on the business lunch, though, it's also that the priority isn't there for a home, that they're more content with apartments. They don't need the big place.
Really?
Yeah, that's what...
I would love to buy tomorrow if I could.
Yeah, but you know, like, what's a house cost these days? $200,000? And if you want to put 20% down, that's $40,000, you know? And you're already...
You definitely need to do some construction to it.
And you may have to, depending on where it is. I mean, $200,000 gets you a swell home outstate, and it doesn't get you anything in the city or suburbs. That's tough.
I think I'm finally realizing I'm kind of expensive.
That's one word.
It's 229. This is WGN. So I'm looking at the list that People Magazine had of things that are to love about America right now. We went over this a little while ago, Ryan. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, number one on the list. Meghan Markle and her mom, Doria, are number two. And that's when Steve got off the bus. The right to vote was three. Fortnite was four.
Tim McGraw and Faith Hill get to number one?
I was going to ask the same question.
And the right to vote is four?
I don't think I have to explain this.
It's
just
is weird.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't.
Tim McGraw and Faith Hill don't even have a song out.
Jessica Chastain is six. The Obama portraits are seven. You remember those portraits of the Obamas?
Right.
They were fantastic.
Yeah, but the best thing about America?
John Mulaney is eight. Easy Pass is 10. You know, the
what about the Fast Pass at Disney World? Put that bad boy on there.
Disneyland and Disney World are on the list.
Standing up for human rights around the world, where does that come in?
99.
Beyonce and Jay-Z should have been number one instead of Faith Hill and Tim McGraw, because that's so much more universal. I don't know the first thing about those other two people.
If he was still working there, I would swear this was a Joel Stein thing.
Wait, are you guys really not getting this?
Joel Stein.
Crowdfunding is on the list. What a great thing Americans do.
Is it before or after the right to vote?
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina's number... I'm not going to tell you. Busy Phillips is on the list. Ella, if you follow Busy, right?
I like her, yeah.
What does she do again?
Oh, that's a girl? Yeah. She's an actress.
And she does what on Instagram? She's big on Instagram, right?
On the Insta.
Honestly, I don't follow her on Instagram. I just like her as an actress very much.
Duluth, Minnesota's on the list. Immigrants, Cher. The only one that I really disagree with, and everything that's on this list I think is accurate and inspired, Peeps are on the list.
I hate Peeps.
The sugar candy?
Yeah, those little styrofoamy things you get at Easter.
Yeah, that really are like styrofoam. You
those
touch them
are...
And...
Everything is wrong about those.
Is this list another tool from the Trump administration to keep immigrants from coming in?
Number something on the list is rosé.
Yep, see, that's what I'm saying.
Here's one that I'm so glad is on the list. Riverdale, the TV show. I love me some Riverdale.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That show is awesome.
Is that about, like, football? And
well, it's the Archie and the Archies, you know, the...
comics?
Yeah, it's the Archie comics show come to life on TV, only it's much darker. There's sex, death, drugs, and they all look fabulous, and their fashions are insanely cool.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, you guys don't watch Riverdale.
We're not American, I guess.
HQ Trivia, Parkland Students, and the Raccoon on the Skyscraper are all on the list of things that are awesome, that we love about America right now. I'm asking you to tell me on my Facebook page, I'm WGN King John, what things do you really like about Chicago? Let's make the Chicago list.
Music venues.
And you could, well, then you need to put the one. I think you, I mean, everybody's okay. Got music venues. What's
Wait.
Your favorite music venue in the city?
I love Shuba's.
Shuba's could be it. Boom. It's on the list.
I'll actually, Chicago? I'm going to write it in right now.
There you go. Go to WGNradio.com. Actually,
Facebook. I'm
going to
write
Facebook
it on your
page.
Facebook page right now.
Yeah, do that. And then I also want you to do me a favor. The Dow is up a little bit today. It has had a bad run. I want to know where the Dow is. And in a minute, tell me this, Aleph. Where is the Dow this year relative to the first day of business this year? I know the Dow's off for 2018. I don't know how much it's off, but I'm kind of curious. Have you guys been following the story about the guy who had the vanity plate 1488?
No, not really.
Yeah, he didn't know what it meant.
Did you?
No.
Did you?
I don't know what it means.
So, you know, if you have a low number, that's kind of cool. Like, you could get a vanity plate that says Steve or Violetta. Cool. You could get a vanity plate like Cubs fan 5. But if you want to get just the vanity plate 12, you're not going to, because somebody's got that and they'll never get it up. And after they die, they give it to their kids and their grandkids. Vanity
it
plates
stays
stay
in family.
Families.
Yeah.
Yes. And low numbers have a certain cachet. I don't know if...
they seem fancy.
Yeah, I know. It's like, wow, you must be important.
Thought after.
22. So 1488, I don't even know why...
What happened that year?
Somebody, I know. The reason that it's in the news is not because that was an important year. But for some reason, grandma had that vanity plate in this family. And she gave it to her kids, and they gave it to their kids. So this was grandma's plate. And a guy is driving around in his Tesla with 1488. Somebody sees it and they tweet, "Hey, at Illinois Secretary of State, why do you allow Nazis to get Nazi slogans on their Tesla's personalized license plates?" And then there's the Twitter handle of the person that put that up there. 14 refers to the number of words in the Ku Klux Klan slogan, and 8 corresponds with the letter H. H is the 8th letter in the alphabet. So 88 translates to HH, and that means Heil Hitler. So 1488 in white supremacist jargon is the wink. That's, you're in the club. That's our number, 1488.
Wow.
Who knew? The guy with the Tesla had no idea. And you know what happens when something goes out on Twitter? If it's wrong and or not fair, it blew up on this poor guy. And so the Twitter feed then has people saying, if you see this car in Illinois, burn it. Let's get the Nazi. Can you imagine? The guy was mortified. He parked his car in his garage and he said, I'm not taking it out until I can get new plates. Absolutely 143,000,000% no, he told the Chicago Tribune. I'm not a white supremacist. I am not a Nazi. I do not subscribe to any of those beliefs. He can't talk fast enough to try and, you know, repair his image here. I feel like I'm being targeted for something I don't believe in, and I'm a target for something I had no idea about. Quite frankly, I just need to get home now because I'm fearing for my safety. The Tribune reached him when he was away from home. The guy that posted it said this. regardless of whether or not someone espouses a white supremacist ideology, in an era where Nazis, fascists, and racists have been emboldened to publicly and proudly display their hatred, driving around with the number that both the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center have singled out as a white supremacist hate speech on one license plate, is going to invite scrutiny. So the guy that outed this guy, but unfairly, is still sort of saying, well, you're still running around with a bad plate, so you should be expecting some trouble, dude.
That's insane.
He then deleted the tweet, saying, I certainly don't want any harm to come to anyone for something they were apparently unaware of. Well, it's too late now, Bucky. That horse has left the barn.
Twitter is having a lot of problems, and
Twitter is mean.
They really need to figure this out, because...
Listen to this, Elif. One Twitter writer wrote, bust his windows, slash his tires if you see his car.
Hide all the Teslas.
If you see this car in Illinois, burn it, said another. And it just reminds me of some other instances. You know the Red Hen restaurant in Virginia? Boy, are the stuff that people are saying you should do to that restaurant now is awful. The stuff they're saying you should do to people in the Trump administration right now is awful. And I think the thing that all of these kinds of stories have in common, Roseanne Barr sobbing the other day after that interview, is that the common thread isn't Twitter. It's that people are so quick to crucify anybody they think has sinned, anybody they think is sinful, anybody that's not like them, anybody that's wrong, anybody that's not right. If you're not with us, it's pitchforks in the street.
And I hear what you're saying, but in this particular instance, he didn't even know.
Right.
So he's now making a decision to show this number or to give the wink to the king. You know, I mean,
this guy's 100% innocent. 100% innocent. And Twitter doesn't know or care. Twitter doesn't go, well, let's make sure that this guy knew, right? That, no, slash his tires. I say Twitter, but I mean, there's people behind every one of those tweets.
Right, it's not Twitter. It's
the people that were saying terrible things about Sarah Sanders or the restaurant that didn't want to serve Sarah Sanders. It's on both sides. It's this is where everybody needs to just take a step back, go, oh, okay. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Can we talk about that list of why America's great again?
By the way, write this down, you guys. This is my favorite vanity plate of all time. This is not a number, it's letters. You're going to need to read this on the radio. Kevin, you got a number two pencil or a ballpoint pen over there?
Yeah.
IYQR.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's so awesome about that vanity plate? This is my favorite vanity plate of all time. YQYQR. What does it say? IYQYQR.
IYQYQR.
And the other car in their garage was IYQYQR too.
Oh, stop. That's too cute.
Isn't that the most? That was in my neighborhood. They had IYQYQR. And the other one was like IYQYQR too. No 1488 there. The market has been down. It has been a tough week. Yesterday, we bounced back a little bit, as I recall. Elif, where are we on the Dow now, Brown Cow?
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 25.62 points at 24,278 points, John.
Okay, I'm only up 25-something. We were up 100-plus earlier, up 25. So where, how about this one? Elif, where are we on the Dow for the year?
Calculating. We are down 441 points on the year, John.
Down 441. So much better the market is today than the first day that Trump became president. But for the year, down 441, up today 25. Ro Khan, Anna DeVlantis in the studio.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you for everything, John.
This sounds dramatic.
I know. I'm worried about what's coming when you hear that big setup.
I'd ask what's troubling him, but he might answer.
No. Bad question.
What's up, Ro?
I'm fine. I'm totally fine. Every day I wake up and I look at my phone, and I shouldn't do that anymore. I should just ignore everything that's going on, right? Is that what they want us to do?
Even if you love this president, you've got to admit the drama is not good for us all. If we could just have a break for a week, wouldn't it be great?
Couldn't he go on vacation? Shouldn't he go on vacation?
He doesn't seem to go on an extended vacation.
Well, he's on vacation,
he?
Like, he still
tweets.
Well,
he takes his phone.
Yeah. Because the tweeting, if you're Harley Davidson, and now all of a sudden, this is amazing. You know, like those biker guys with real long beards and the World War II helmets, right? Mm-hmm. That ride up and down the highways and byways of America. Now they have to make a choice.
I saw a guy on CNN today, and I wasn't able to hear the interview, but his hat said Harley Lovers for Trump. And he was on CNN. I wonder what he has to say about this.
Oh, he says, you know what? We're going to buy Indians now, is what he said. The Indian motorcycle.
Sure.
Which is, I think, just 2 years younger than Harley Davidson as a company.
So how does this affect Walker, the governor of, that's Scott Walker, right, in Wisconsin? I wonder how he feels about this.
Maybe the jobs.
This doesn't look so good. When
leaving
you,
the area?
Leaving the thing. Harley said, see ya. Remember Trump and they brought those beautiful motorcycles onto the White House lawn.
They did.
Pence was there and they were saying, it's great.
They've done two, because I think Trump also feels like the Harley riders, the motorcycle club guys, definitely be in his corner. And, maybe they will be. What is interesting to me is how people are willing to give up their passion to agree, to change their mind, to agree with the president's anger or antipathy towards something. And that, I think, is kind of fascinating.
What are you suggesting there? That Harley owners are going to not love Trump anymore?
No, they're not going to love Harley anymore. He's telling them not to love Harley anymore. And some of them are doing it.
I guess he is, isn't he? Right? Well, he's not telling them not to love Harley anymore. He's telling them they can't
In his tweet, he says, Harley Davidson should never be built in another country. Never. This will be the beginning of the end. They surrendered. They quit.
Well, that's new, because he was saying be patient previously. Mm-hmm. That's his tweet today about Harley Davidson?
It's his tweet today, and he also said this afternoon when he spoke about Harley, very mad about what they're doing, and he was very expressive.
They're insulting him because they're doing something. They're making a decision that's in the best interest, as they see it, of their company.
They sell motorcycles in Europe.
And in Asia. They're also doing this in Thailand, too. So,
well, thanks a lot, Ro, because I hadn't looked at these tweets, and now...
now you have something to be anxious about.
I'll tell you that. All right, Brett Baer is going to join us this hour. We'll talk about all of this with him. Mike Monaco will explain what the Supreme Court did today. That was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we also have a family four-pack of passes to go see the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Chicago Hilton, July 27th through the 29th. That's all coming your way.
I'll be listening.
Thanks, sir.